Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There are huge problems with the presuppositions of critical race theory. Yeah. And I think we've addressed those in our messages and sermons throughout, but it's like some people out there have learned some particular signals, and if you don't make those signals, then they don't understand.
Were these signals sent? This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Dr. Mark Dever, Capitol Hill Baptist Church, Washington, D.C., conversation with Dr. Ligon Duncan prior to the recently held final Together for the Gospel conference, promising there would be crystal clarity regarding critical race theory. Was the promise fulfilled? You be the judge. Would like to share with you much of the conversation that happened in a panel discussion. Mark Dever is moderating the panel discussion. You're not going to hear his voice because he didn't say anything one way or another. He simply asked questions, asked for a response. We are in the process of listening to his sermon and Ligon Duncan's sermon to see if they did indeed make it crystal clear where they stand on CRT. You're not going to learn where they're at with this particular session because it's the Q&A with Pastor Kevin DeYoung and Pastor Bobby Smith. You perhaps know Kevin DeYoung, whip smart Presbyterian. You probably don't know Bobby Smith. He's the pastor of discipleship at Community of Faith Bible Church in Los Angeles, California. Have to say it, Kevin is white, Bobby is black. And Mark moderated the panel discussion between the two of them, and I think it's worth a listen because Kevin DeYoung strikes me as always being a fellow who is not a moderate. I think he's a conservative kind of guy, but he moderates his tone. He considers his language. He tries to be thoughtful. He engages the other side to see, all right, is there anything there for us to consider? And yet, I think he's still very conservative, even though he tries to speak in a way that I think you'll perceive as, all right, he's being fair here. Now, please note this. I'm not sure you're going to agree with everything that Kevin says, but I do think that he's worth a listen. And then we'll listen to Bobby Smith because I think that he shares at least a couple of things that can cause us to go, all right, okay, that's a helpful insight. Now, that doesn't mean that he persuaded us that CRT is a good thing. He himself said, I'm not really a proponent of it, but he sees it more as a helpful tool to assess cultural issues. I disagree with that. And so did Kevin DeYoung.
Three thoughts relative to critical race theory. Number one, it is possible, and not just possible, but it has happened, that critical race theory becomes a quick accusation to silence discussion.
Now, you're not going to like this if you are as opposed to CRT as I am. But it is, I think, a reasonable warning that before we just slap somebody with a label that gets used in all kinds of, with a semantic range that is very vast, that we at least before saying, hey, that's CRT, maybe we take the time to make sure that if somebody is talking about the subject of racism, that we don't make a snap judgment.
Somebody quotes from Frederick Douglass, somebody is preaching from Amos, someone brings up oppression, words like that, critical race theory, CRT, in the discussion, are you a liberal, you're a Marxist. That happens, it can shut down conversations, it's not helpful.
All right, question, are you willing to digest that critique? And, if necessary, make adjustments. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I think, considering the baggage that CRT lugs along with it, it would be as if you said something that appeared to folks who are proponents of CRT that appeared to be in the slightest bit racist, and they said, KKK. You'd go, whoa, hold on a second. First of all, I'm not making a racist comment. Second of all, I'm not a member of the KKK. I think that's reasonably analogous.
And that's number one.
Yeah.
Second, critical race theory is a thing. I mean, it is a thing. It's not just a label. It's not somebody affixed it to it. It's not people didn't like something and we'll give it. It is a thing. It has a history. It comes out of legal theory. It's become something more than that. I don't purport to be an expert. It's not my dissertation on critical race theory, but it is a thing. There are whole books. There are readers on critical race theory, proponents saying, here's what critical race theory is.
This is an important point. Because Kevin DeYoung is stating, hey, people have codified. People have taken the time to say, this is our credo. This is our value statement. This is what it intends to do. In other words, it has been clearly defined. And the definition of it is this, that there is a group of people, exclusively, it seems, white people, who have been the oppressors. Black people have been the oppressed. Everything gets filtered through that grid. That's what CRT is, and it intends to divide. It intends to have equal outcomes for everybody, everybody at the same level. That is what CRT is. It smells like socialism because, well, that's what it comes from, is Marxism, a Gramscian Marxism, but nevertheless, that's why it smells like socialism. That's what it is. And the reason that this is an important point, as you're going to hear from Kevin, is that there are people who are going to say, hey, the thing is a helpful analytical tool. Bobby says that. Look, it can help us to understand some stuff. And you're going to hear Kevin say this. He's going to say, wait a second, that's not what CRT is. It wasn't meant to be a helpful analytical tool. It has already observed and addressed the situation in society and have defined it as oppressor and oppressed. That's what it is. So if you say that it's just a helpful analytical tool, well, you're not saying what critical race theory is. And that is why Kevin DeYoung is laboring to say, no, hold on. There are actual definitions here of what this thing is and does.
And to the degree that critical race theory can help people see the experience of minorities in this country has often been worse than the majority thinks, harder, racism has been more pervasive, that we didn't do away with racism in 1964 or 1968, that it continues to exist and exists more pervasively than whites may think. All of those are necessary things to be said. And I want to say that without clearing my throat.
Now, that is a very nuanced statement. So I don't want to put words into Kevin's mouth. I'll just speak words from my mouth. I don't think critical theory does that. I don't think it does help us assess, certainly not in a biblical way. So I don't think it does that. Now, did Kevin just say it does? Well, you be the judge. I don't know that he went that far, especially considering his third point.
Third comment. However, I don't think that is the essence of critical race theory. I think those insights can be found and need to be heard and can be found and heard elsewhere. I think critical race theory from its own purveyors says much more than that. It has, by its own definition, a revisionist view of American history. It has a view of intersectionality that all of these things should converge. It has a view of interest convergence, which says that whites have only supported means to ameliorate racism in this country when it serves to work towards their own benefits. I think there is in critical race theory, by their own definition, a presumption that disparities by definition are the result of racism. That's not to say racism hasn't contributed, but presumptively to say disparities equal discrimination is, I think, wrong and not helpful. And I think most of all, most damagingly of all, I think it pushes us in a direction that is not gospel, meaning it pushes us rather than to see all of the things that we most have in common with one another. And I'm not advocating a sort of ignorant color blindness. I don't see color. I don't even know that anybody's black or Asian. Of course, that's silly. And to the degree that people say that, that's really unhelpful. Yet critical race theory pushes an aggressive color consciousness so that the neutrality before the law is seen as suspect. I think that is anti to the sort of impetus we should have as gospel ministers to say, we have the same sinful nature from Adam. He was our father. We're the same need of the same Savior. That doesn't mean that we don't have other earthly identities. But the way to transcend and to acknowledge centuries of hurt and pain is found in those things that we have most in common, not in identities that most divide us.
Three points from Dr. Kevin DeYoung at the Together for the Gospel conference. He was sitting in a panel discussion moderated by Mark Dever. You have not yet heard from somebody who has a different take, but you will next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Question, do you also watch TV? All right, don't mock me. That's a legitimate question, because some Christians don't, and that's okay. But I did want you to remember that Wretched is also on TV. 135 Christian networks, to be exact. Wretched TV is hosted, of course, by Todd Friel, and is a daily 30-minute program containing live witnessing encounters and conversations about tough theology stuff. You can find us on TV, our website, wretched.org/TV, and also on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. And it's only possible by the kindness and generosity of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can help us continue making Wretched available to everyone, and also help us in our mission to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen the local church. Find out how you can become a Wretched gospel partner just by visiting Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Here's a preborn story that starts out a little on the bitter side, but ends up being very sweet.
Neighborhood pastor's daughter ends up pregnant, and she was very abortion-minded, not wanting to face the consequences of her indiscretion. When she met her baby on the ultrasound, she just wept uncontrollably. Couldn't do it. That baby's alive today because an ultrasound was underwritten for a girl. And otherwise, even though she was a Christian, saw abortion as the easy answer.
That is the power of an ultrasound. When a woman in crisis sees her baby, 80% of the time she chooses life. For just $28, you could provide one of those ultrasounds. But I would ask you, how many ultrasounds might you be able to provide? The more ultrasounds, the more saved babies. Please consider what you can do at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
I could spend the next 60 seconds telling you things like Wretched Radio airs on over 820 Christian radio stations, or Wretched TV appears on 125 Christian TV stations. I could tell you that the Wretched Radio podcast has had nearly 5 million downloads in the last year, or the Wretched YouTube channel has had nearly 125 million all-time views. But I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for your continued support that has helped us reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel. Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, and our newest production, Transformed, are all possible because of the support of our gospel partners. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We rely on your kindness and your generosity and your ongoing prayers. Visit wretched.org/donate to get all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word wretched to the number 44321.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I think critical race theory has often been a detour, because then we end up talking about this other thing over here, and then we're debating, well, that's not really CRT, or it is CRT. I'm more concerned about what are the things downstream from that that are divisive and unhelpful and theologically problematic. And that's not to discount all the other sorts of things that we need to. This isn't the only part of the conversation we need to have, but it's the title of this particular panel. And so, yes, I think we ought to be critical of critical race theory.
This is Wretched Radio. That was the voice of Dr. Kevin DeYoung at the final Together for the Gospel Conference panel discussion on critical race theory. He was clear, although he has been clear all along. He's tried to be as considerate as he possibly can while saying CRT, we should be very critical of it because of what it is, its origins, and how it sets people apart, how it provides definitions that aren't biblical. It causes radical division, animosity, a lack of forgiveness, and that's just the start. So he's been really clear on it. We were promised by Mark Dever and Ligon Duncan that they would deliver clarity. That didn't happen on this panel discussion. Even though Mark hosted it, he moderated the panel. He didn't say one thing or another. He was simply hearing from two different fellows that have a disagreement on the subject of CRT. We are listening right now to his sermons and Ligon's sermons to see if they did indeed fulfill their promise to bring clarity to a subject that is oh so divisive and has already caused oh so many divisions. Pastor Bobby Smith, he is going to offer a different position than Kevin DeYoung, and you're going to hear a fellow who is trying to suggest that whilst not being a proponent of critical race theory, perhaps there are some things that it provides that can be helpful. This is one of the big debating points on the subject. Is there anything about CRT that is helpful? And people would argue, as you're about to hear Bobby Smith argue, yeah, it's brought to the surface subjects. It is brought to the surface history. It has reminded us of a sin that everybody is guilty of committing. Therefore, CRT is good. And Kevin DeYoung, and I join his response to that is, but that's not what CRT is. Yeah, that's happened in the conversation, but that's not what CRT is. It is a narrative that is already defined. It is a playbook that has already been written. It is a history lesson that has already been determined. We aren't exploring. We aren't having conversations with CRT. It's a foregone conclusion. White people are oppressors. Black people are oppressed. And ne'er the twain shall meet. Therefore, government engage, bring down the success of white people to raise up the success of black people. That's CRT in its essence. Pastor Bobby Smith explaining why he's not a proponent, but...
And I would qualify it this way. I'm not a critical race theorist. And I don't mean that to disparage it. I'm just not. I'm a pastor. And I think as pastors, we have to deal with these things. And we have to deal with the problems, I think, with our Bibles open. And I think we have to deal with it with our eyes open and finding where these little T's are. I always say that...
Little T's, by the way, are little truths. Now, I'm not a fan of little T, capital T, truth. Truth is truth. It either is truth or it isn't. Where do we find truth? In the Bible, period. How do we know if something historically has been done that is bad? The Bible. That's why we don't make a distinction between small T, capital T. Pastor Bobby, though, seems to think that there can be some small T truths found in CRT.
And I'm going to be pretty biographical, and I know there's problems with that because we want to be objective and have a facts. I was born in 1964, so you're literally looking at the first generation of African Americans born with the rights of an American citizen. You have to swallow that for a second. My mom was the movie The Help. She rode on the back of buses across town to clean houses in white communities. And so the question that I think that critical race theory is trying to get at, and you can just say, is it a bad question or is it a decent, good, helpful question? The question it's trying to get at is that how did we racialize our country? How did we racialize our country and to make it work through slavery and Jim Crow? There was a legal component to it.
Did CRT get codified by people who claim to be experts on it to do that, to help us understand our historical past? I disagree with Pastor Bobby. I think the answer is no. They've already determined the American past is littered with racism, and it needs to be deconstructed. And that's why I just don't think there is anything beneficial in critical race theory. Let's give the man a hearing, shall we?
There really is a legal component to it where my dad, when he went to apply for a job in the north of New Jersey, he was told in the 1960s that, Robert, you're black, and because you're black, you're not smart enough to pass the test. And so there were jobs, middle-class jobs, that were for whites only, and my dad, he sued, and he got a chance to take the test. He passed the test, and he said, well, Robert, because you're black, we know that black people are lazy, they drink on the weekends, they party, and they don't show up to work, so we're not going to train you in this job to be a telephone installer, because we're just going to turn around and fire you. So you have to work in the mailroom for a whole year. So my dad worked in the mailroom for a whole year, and then he got the job that he was hired for. So the question, I think, that critical race theory wants to get at is that...
Question. As a Christian, do you need any help in understanding what happened to his father? I don't. That's sinful. That's racism, that's pride, that's arrogance, it's condescension. It could even be murder in the heart, which is usually a component of racism. I don't need CRT to help me with that. What? Wrong. Don't do that. Sinful. Pastor Bobby's trying to make the case CRT has helped us to understand that.
He actually effectively changed a structure that we codify with laws. Blacks can't read, blacks can't have these jobs, blacks can't own these properties, blacks can't do this, and blacks can't do that. Did the passage of laws change that? And I think one of the questions that Bell was asking when Brown versus Board of Education was passed, okay, so now we're going to desegregate the schools. And when desegregate the schools, the law was changed. And so legal theory, critical race theory is legal theory, and
The only issue with that statement is that the laws were changed long before CRT. CRT, while it has most certainly been brewing in university campuses, academia, philosophical centers, it's relatively new to the party within the last couple of years, 3 years perhaps, and these laws of redlining, they've been abolished, rightly so. Laws that were discriminatory have been abolished, and I don't think that there is a Christian on the planet who would say that if there happens to be a law on the books today that is indeed systemically racist, in that if it's codified into law, that is a system. The law is a system, and therefore this particular system has something discriminatory. Wouldn't we all go, get rid of that? We as Christians don't need CRT to bring us to that conclusion.
Jurisprudence. So in Brown versus Board of Education, so when that's struck down, now schools can be segregated. All kids can get the same education. All kids, therefore, will be able to get the same kind of employment opportunities, same income, live in the same communities, on and on. That was 1954. And I would just say, that didn't happen. And so critical race theory is
did not have a place in the conversation in 54. I wonder if he meant 64, but nevertheless, CRT is like brand new to this whole conversation. And has there been perfect progress? Of course not. We're never going to see that with any subject in any society. But has there been much progress? Yeah.
So critical race theory is it doesn't have my hermeneutology, so it may impose...
It doesn't have Bobby's doctrine of sin.
Yes.
Right.
So it may impose false guilt and consciousness, and read into consciousnesses of people that it can't do. But the question is...
Well, thank you for observing that CRT is Gnostic.
Did the laws that segregate us in the course desegregation was struck down? Plessy versus Ferguson, 1985, segregated us by law, and then we desegregated, but are we desegregated?
This is a question that I think is absolutely worthy of a conversation. If we have laws as recently as 64, or as he's making the case, 1985, that caused segregation, that caused somebody to be seen as lesser than, or shouldn't be with a particular group, have there been any remaining effects from that? That's a debate issue. And there's Christians who go, nope, no residual effect from that at all. There are others who would say, yes. Might I encourage you to ponder that, little Tish Raiden? Talk about whether or not we still feel the effects of it, because that will make a bit of a difference in the conversation. In a lot of ways, we will continue studying ongoing together for the Gospel Conference. Was it clear? This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What can we learn from Together for the Gospel? This is Wretched Radio. The last Together for the Gospel conference was held just days ago. Their sermons are being posted online, and we're going to march through them because, if you recall, we were promised we would have crystal clarity on the leaders of the Together for the Gospel conference and organization. You are going to know exactly where they stand on critical race theory. We will see if we get that clarity, but in the meantime, let's give a hearing to a panel discussion that happened between Pastor/Dr. Kevin DeYoung and Pastor Bobby Smith. Kevin DeYoung articulating a critical position on critical race theory. Pastor Bobby Smith of a Bible church in Los Angeles, California, saying, look, I'm not a proponent, but I don't want to disparage it either. Now, that's a disagreement. How vast is that chasm? That's a question worth asking. And we should also ask, as opposed as I hope you are to CRT, all right, what can I learn anything here? Am I willing to have my understandings pressure tested? And I think that Bobby Smith helped us accomplish that. He does not appear to be anything close to resembling somebody who is a wild-eyed woke proponent. So let's see what Pastor Bobby Smith had to say, and we will also hear a contrary position from Kevin DeYoung.
I've always lived in a black community. I've only always gone to black schools. And so we're still fairly segregated. I don't mean this as a slight, but the seminary that I graduated with my second degree, and I love them, and they love me. They voted me student body president, predominantly white. That was a wake-up call for me, like, wow, so they just looked at Bobby as a leader. But when I graduated my second degree, no one else noticed this but me. I was the only black graduate. And even we look here that we still are fairly segregated.
That is worth pondering, and I think we would do well to examine our pre-understandings about what the composition of a church should be. Must it reflect the community? Must it reflect the state or the nation? Is that the way we should go about building the church? And I think the answer to that is no. Let's be honest, there's a little something called history. And there are some churches that are indeed predominantly white. There are also some churches that are indeed predominantly black. How it got there, not the point of this conversation, but that's where we are. Is that innately sinful? And I think the answer is it can be, but it doesn't have to be. It could be a sin if you're keeping somebody out of your church or making somebody uncomfortable in your church because of their skin color. You're sinning. But if it just so happens that happens to be the complexion, the makeup, because of cultural issues, if you will, food preference issues, worship preference issues, that there are churches that are predominantly one or the other. It doesn't have to be sinful. And I've always thought it's a little, it's lacking the correct motivation to try to grow a church that meets some sort of racial quota. For instance, let's just say you are a part of a mostly white church, but somebody says, no, we need to be reflective of the community. Let's just say 13% of the people here need to be black because 13% of Americans are black. All right, what does that evangelism look like? Friendship evangelism, law gospel evangelism, what does it look like? Because lurking right behind it is, hi, I'd like to introduce myself. I noticed you because of your skin color. And I'm wondering if you'd like to come to our church so that we can have more diversity. That's why I'm talking to you. Now, there are people who wouldn't say that, but if that's the goal, I don't see how our hearts are in the right place. We share the gospel indiscriminately. We share it with everyone. We want to see the nation saved, not just a particular people group. So, Pastor Bobby, I think being a very reasonable sounding fellow, is trying to say, hey, we're segregated and that ought not to be.
Sunday morning, we're segregated all over. And that has, if separate is different, then it will have different outcomes. So critical race theory might be a helpful tool in that sense of trying to figure out why are we still separated. And if
do I need that? Do I need critical theory for that? I believe the answer is no, I don't. I don't. If our church doesn't want black people in it, I'm probably going to find another church or ask everybody to repent. I don't need CRT to analyze the situation. And as Kevin DeYoung makes clear repeatedly, that isn't even what CRT is intended to do. So, for instance, Amat and Bailey, if you recall, a mot is a strong tower, think medieval village. Surrounding the mot is the bailey, the city, and the town. In the mot, we have shared values and ideas, a safe place where we all agree. But then there are people who leave the mot, go out into the bailey to spread their worldview. So here is, this would be a mot and bailey critical race theory. Hey, don't you want to be able to understand our history better? Don't you want to understand why it is that we appear to be so segregated in the church? Yeah, that's a good thing. Out of the mot they go, into the bailey and go, critical race theory helps us do that. Hold on. Wait. That's not what it does. Hold on. Don't you want to utilize anything that helps us understand racism? Yes, but your application of that ideal is what I have an issue with. And that is what I think we're hearing here, that somebody's trying to tell us that critical race theory is a helpful analytical tool. And we want helpful analytical tools, but thankfully we have one. I have the Bible that teaches me about skin color. I mean, we could bring this back to presuppositionalism anyway, couldn't we? How do we even know that racism is bad? It works for that group of people. It makes them happy. Therefore, it's okay. Besides, they're not hurting anybody. They're just harboring ill will in their hearts. They can't even say it's evil. The proponents of CRT that are secularists, they can't even say racism is evil. So CRT, in my estimation, does not do what Pastor Bobby Smith is saying that it does, because that's not what it is.
I mean, he's my Christian voice. We have a calling to reconcile. We have a ministry of reconciliation, and we can grade ourselves since 1964. Have we done a good job with that? Have we really reconciled? Do our churches look like it? Do our communities look like it? Do our schools look like it? And there's a secular and a Christian answer to those. And I think from the Christian side, I think we could say we could do, I just look out here and say, we might be able to do better.
Okay. So he's looking out over a conference of predominantly white people to say, I think we can do better. My question is how? I think that you could probably dismantle this argument, at least to a degree. Nevertheless, I offer it for your consideration. This particular conference, predominantly white, and a speaker saying, I think we can do better racially. Okay, so now what does that look like? How does that play itself out? Do we, for instance, we only will sell 63% of the chairs to white people, and if you're white and it's after the 63%, you can't attend because we've got to have other people. You go, well, that doesn't quite feel right. Furthermore, I go back to the evangelism example. Hi, neighbor. I'd like you to come to the conference because of your skin color. We need some diversity. Won't you come? It just introduces a motive that I don't think is all that helpful. Now, you may recall that earlier in this presentation, Pastor Bobby was talking about his past history and how his father was discriminated against, how his mother was the help. And he is the first generation to actually possess all American rights as a black man. Is that a powerful story? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Do our hearts go out for that history? Yeah, they certainly should. Do they, these historical events, still have a lingering impact? That is another one of the questions that these two tried to address. Is there something called systemic racism? And even if there are no more systems or laws that promote racist attitudes and behavior, are we still seeing the effects of that? Do we feel the effect? Is it reasonable for somebody to say one of the reasons that our group of people are in this particular scenario of economics strata? Is it because of the way that our parents were treated and grandparents were treated? Can they say, hey, look, that just had an effect? And that type of stuff just doesn't tend to go away overnight. That is where this little debate between Pastor Bobby Smith, he is from Community Bible Church, Community of Faith Bible Church, rather, in Los Angeles, and Kevin DeYoung, I think doing a good job of being reasonable, thoughtful, actually listening, and yet still willing to winsomely disagree with the understanding that critical race theory can indeed be a helpful analytical tool. We will continue listening to this debate next on Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini master seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today, and get ready to take some notes because I'm about to save you from being canceled by your very own kids. Are you being a sharent? You know, the person who shares way too much about their personal life on social media? Yeah, if you're looking at the radio all crazy right now, I'm likely talking about you. But look, don't get offended, just get better. How, you may ask? Simple. Spend less time on social media and more time at wretched.org. You may have noticed the Wretched website recently got a facelift, and you'll find the new look easier to navigate and locate all of our amazing, yes, amazing content, like full daily Wretched TV and radio episodes. The Wretched store is loaded with tons of new resources, and the donate page has complete information on how you can become a monthly ongoing gospel partner. So stop embarrassing your kids. Don't be a sharent. Spend your time instead at wretched.org. It just hits different. Wretched, Amazing Grace, Amazing Gospel.
Here's a preborn story that starts out a little on the bitter side, but ends up being very sweet.
Neighborhood pastor's daughter ends up pregnant, and she was very abortion-minded, not wanting to face the consequences of her indiscretion. When she met her baby on the ultrasound, she just wept uncontrollably. Couldn't do it. That baby's alive today because an ultrasound was underwritten for a girl. And otherwise, even though she was a Christian, saw abortion as the easy answer.
That is the power of an ultrasound. When a woman in crisis sees her baby, 80% of the time she chooses life. For just $28, you could provide one of those ultrasounds. But I would ask you, how many ultrasounds might you be able to provide? The more ultrasounds, the more saved babies. Please consider what you can do at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Together for the gospel, no longer together, and maybe not entirely together regarding critical race theory. This is Wretched Radio panel discussion at the final T4G. Just days ago, Kevin DeYoung saying we need to be critical of CRT. Pastor Bobby Smith saying, well, maybe it can help us in some way, shape, or form. Maybe that there are things that it can help us with. Therefore, we can say good on critical theory for that. I would actually suggest to you the comments that you're about to hear from Pastor Bobby that I don't think anybody would argue with. Actually, I think it undermined his presentation that critical race theory is helpful in understanding our history, because he drives us, rightly so, back to the Bible.
In Isaiah chapter 52, here the prophet is summarizing Israel's history. And as he summarizes Israel's history, he says this in verse 4, "For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing." The Bible talks about groups oppressing other groups, and we don't have to qualify that, whether they're virtuous victims or that people really, groups do oppress groups, and the Bible just says that.
That's why I don't need CRT. Right there.
And that was a phenomenon that happened in our American history. And so if groups can oppress other groups, and the Bible says that, we also can ask, are there, what remedies are there for that? And have the remedies we applied, did they effectively work? And I think we can disagree over that, but we can have conversations with our Bibles open as Christians at that point.
Whilst tempted to pursue that question, let's just stick with CRT. I think that the Bible teaches us everything. Yeah, people, they oppress people. Yep, we see that in the Bible. We shouldn't be shocked that we've seen it in the history of every other nation. That's why I don't need CRT. And remember, that is not what CRT is built to do.
I agree with everything you said. I don't think that's critical race theory, so we'll set that aside.
That's really an important part of this conversation. Otherwise, we're kind of dealing with a Mott and Bailey here. Mark Dever injects for the sake of clarity.
Right. Make sure. So the observations Bobby's making about the situation in American history in the last 60, 70 years, this is also what you see.
I think the questions you're raising are good questions, and I think we have the residual effects. How could we not? I mean, just your own personal biography.
Hold on right there. Kevin DeYoung saying we do feel residual effects from formerly codified racist legislation and really a kind of a culturally acceptable attitude about having a negative feeling about another people group. You can disagree with Kevin on that. You can say, nope, There's no reason for those effects anymore. I would say this. I think that disagreement isn't worthy, though, of division.
How could we not have residual effects of legacy of slavery and Jim Crow and all the rest? What I do want to press in, because we've had these conversations. And
let me say this really quick.
Okay.
I think a lot of people say there is no residual effect. And you're saying that, and I think it's helpful for the conversation. I think some people say,
I think you're right.
We reached a colorblind society. Don't bring up race. If you bring up race, then you're creating the problem, and you're the racist. There are people who literally say that.
And I disagree with that. I disagree with that strongly, and I think we need to acknowledge that. I think any monocausal explanation for racial disparities is bound to be incorrect. Life is complicated. Humans make decisions for all sorts of reasons that are bound up in family and history and institutions and cultures and religion and decisions. So it's not one thing, it's many things. What I would want to say, because I think what makes these panels helpful, is if we push and pull on each other. And we've had these conversations in private before, and I love Bobby and I respect him, and I love his preaching of the gospel. Often, we end up talking about many different things. Are we talking about the past, the present, or the future? And the past certainly matters. And we can talk about what happened in American history. Why did it happen? I think we've traded a hagiographical view of American history, we've now have in many places a hamartiography, meaning it's not all saints, now it's all sinners. And I think that is part of critical race theory, to have a revisionist view of American history, where I don't think that's how King or how Frederick Douglass, I think they viewed the founding generation as inconsistent, sadly hypocritical, but putting in place the right sort of things that we need to have the full purchase of. So I think what becomes difficult is, are we talking about what happened in the past and why? Are we talking about where things are in the present? Or are we talking about how things can become better in the future? And obviously, they're all connected. But I'll just lean into that. What I think, one of the difficulties, I think for many people, Christianity starts to feel impossible, meaning I want to recognize the hurt, the history. I want to recognize and acknowledge it's worse than many people in majority culture learned. I think also then what many people sense and where the issue is what do I do about that? I can't change that Thomas Jefferson had slaves. I can't change that they did redlining. I can't change what happened up to the civil rights legislation and what's happened even since then. And I think then a secondary question is, can we acknowledge that it's not 1619 or 1776 or 1865 or 1964, and that actually a lot of things have gotten maybe not as good as many white people think, but they actually have gotten a lot better, and we are in a better place. And when you see the New York Times since 2014, you know, averaging, what, 500, you know, references to racism, and then it spikes, and white supremacy spikes when you combine WAPO and USA Today and New York Times. Why is it, when I think objectively, probably no time in American history has there been less racism? I'm not saying no racism, or that it's not insidious and pervasive, and maybe that's just cultural norms that force us to press it down. But even that signifies something good, that racism is so stigmatized. Why is it in a time where there's less institutional racism, less personal racism, I think, than ever before, we see mainstream news outlets in all of our major entertainment outlets talking about it more than ever before? And maybe, I don't speak for you, you may say, well, because you haven't seen it, or you haven't been willing to see it. I'm not saying me personally, but just whites haven't. And I think that's a very fair point in critique, and we need to own up to that history. And yet I think that also leads to a dead end in the conversation, a sense of helplessness, like, what do we do? I mean, someone just came to my church this Sunday, and it's just their own anecdote. Maybe they're inaccurate. They said, the first time visiting your church, our pastor, a white pastor, has been telling us to repent of our whiteness. I said, I don't know what to, God made me white. I don't know how to repent of it. I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to have the sin of partiality.
But I'm a white supremacist now. That's an impossible burden. And I do think many people, it's not just cranks on the far right who are trying to gin up votes. I think good, ordinary, faithful church people are feeling that.
Mark Deber moderating a discussion between the voice you just heard, which is Kevin DeYoung with Pastor Bobby Smith, talking about the issue of racism. And we now are confronted with a question. And I would really encourage you to perhaps think this question through more than anything else that we've heard. We've spent now two programs trying to fairly work through the subject matter that was presented at T4G regarding critical race theory. Most of it, if you listen to this program with any regularity, and I can't imagine anybody would, but you've probably heard much of this in different packages and forms presented before, at least the more of the Kevin DeYoung position and critiques of the Bobby Smith position on CRT. But now that you've heard most, not all of it, but you've heard most of their presentation, most of it. Question. Did you agree with everything they both said? Did you jot and tittle say amen, amen, amen? Or were there places where you said, I don't think so, Kevin. No, I'm not with you on this one, Bobby. And if you didn't agree with everything, and I don't think you probably did, because I didn't, there were nuances of both where I'm like, but the question then that lies before us is the disagreement that we have, that we've heard. Now, we're just limiting it to what we've heard, not to the totality of the conversation on CRT, but what we just heard. Is there anything that you heard that is worthy of division? That is worthy of separation. That should cause you to say, Kevin DeYoung, he's out of the camp. Bobby Smith, he is not a part of the Christian community. Is there anything that you heard that would bring you to that conclusion? That might be the most important question we can ask. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.